So, Matt, the last couple nights, I've dreamed that I was the author of The Lord of the Rings.
Really?
Yeah, I've been Tolkien in my sleep.
God.
You're
I hear
welcome.
The secrets that you keep.
I've been Tolkien in my sleep.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the graveyard. Thank you for joining us tonight. My name is Adam.
And my name's Matt.
Now, pull up a tombstone or settle into your casket and get comfortable, because this is Graveyard Tales.
All right, everybody, here we are again. Matt, how you doing tonight, brother?
I'm doing well, brother.
Good. Good. So, first, I'll say go over to our Patreon and go over to patreon.com/graveyardtales. You can sign up to become a patron. We have three different levels. We think each one of the levels is a great deal. Yeah, for your money, you get a buttload of bonus episodes that are in our back catalog. We've been doing it for years, so there's a bunch there. And every level gets a bonus episode a week. Then if you move up to the $5 or $10, they get the bonus episode plus the audio and video versions of ad-free audio and video versions of our main show. And I'm just going to say it, Matt. I think we do a pretty good job with our video quality. You and I were talking about it before we started recording. I think, versus some other videos you may see out there, we do a pretty good job with our videos. So if you want ad-free version of those, Patreon is the place to get it. Plus, then if you go up to the $10 level, you get all of that. Plus, you get our second show, Side Quest. Matt and I love doing the Side Quest because it's a break from the normal research that we do daily. And it's like, if you wanted to hang out with me and Matt, that's basically what you'd get, is a Side Quest.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you ever wonder what it's like to, you know, be sitting across the living room with us, it's pretty close.
Yeah.
You know, and it's kind of ridiculous. And
it is.
You might not want to come back over. You know, like, I'll sit over here in the corner by the plant. You two just keep going.
Yeah, right. They'll sit over by the plant, and then we'll turn around in a minute, and they're gone. They've snuck out.
These guys are nuts.
Patreon.com/graveyardtales if you want to get any of that. And if you want to help us out as well, but you don't want a commitment for Patreon, check out one of our sponsors. Go buy something from one of our sponsors. Use our code, and that lets them know that you heard about it from us, and then they will come back to us, and they will help sponsor another show.
Yep.
Matt, real quick, before we get into this, I need to give a PSA, and I didn't tell you about this, but I just want to say, if you're out there driving, you're on the roads, hot tip, you're not the only one on the road.
Lord, here we go.
I was almost hit three times on the way from dropping Michael off at art class to getting back home today by people just going. Not paying attention. Get off your phones. Pay attention. They're swerving into my lane, not even wanting to change lanes. They're just swerving. Had one lady just start coming over, didn't look, and just was wanting over in my lane and just start. Luckily, I saw it and slammed on the brakes and honked at her. Yeah. And then another guy exiting the interstate, and he blows past me in the shoulder. Like, we're in the merge lane. Tap your brake and you'd have been behind me, you know? But no, he guns it and goes off-roading on the shoulder, kicking up dust and everything, and almost clips my front end as he jumps over. I'm like, just so that, pay attention if you're out there driving. Don't be watching the video of Graveyard Tales. Listen to the audio.
It's dangerous out there, y'all. So everyone be careful. But if you don't know, Adam is like some kind of weird magnet for bad drivers.
That's true. Okay? That's true.
I no one I know has so many stories of the craziest stuff happening while they're behind the wheel. Mm-hmm. From other drivers. It is, I mean, it's almost weekly. He's got a story and I'm just thinking, man, I drive for a living.
Yeah.
And I don't have this many stories.
Yeah. I don't understand it. I really don't. But just please, if you're a bad driver, try not to be in front, behind, or beside me. I would appreciate that. But that was off topic. So Matt, why don't you tell us, what are we talking about tonight, brother?
Okay, so tonight, Adam and I, and this is my deal. I pitched this to Adam. I saw it. I love these places. I love these places. And one day when I no longer have children in my house and under my feet, Amanda and I are going to visit all of these places out across the American West. Because I absolutely adore, you know, the Grand Canyon and Yosemite and the Redwood Forest. I love every aspect of that. And so this was born of that love when I came across some information I had not seen before. This is a very unique place. It is a national monument. And I wanted to look into it, so I convinced Adam that we needed to do a show about it. But we are going to discuss the mystique around Devil's Tower in Wyoming.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some people that really have some interesting viewpoints as to what Devil's Tower is and what it means and what it means to them. So we're going to cover, there's a lot of legends behind it and really, you know, fascinating geology behind it. And we're going to talk about all of that. So maybe a little bit different than what a typical Graveyard Tales episode is, but I think you guys are going to really, really enjoy this because this place is so unique. So, oh, yeah. Adam, let's get rolling on Devil's Tower.
All right. So, as we always say, go check our sources down in the bottom of the show notes. You can find where we found all the information. Everything that we discuss is sourced and referenced down there. You can, you know, when Matt gets into his crazy stuff, you can see where he found the crazy stuff. And all of the geology and stuff that I talk about, you can find down there as well. Now, Devil's Tower stands in Crook County, northeastern Wyoming, in the Bear Lodge Ranger District of the Black Hills. It's near Belle Fourche River. Now, it rises about 1,267 feet above the Belle Fourche River and about 867 feet from base to summit, with the summit at roughly 5,112 feet above sea level. So it's big. Mm-hmm. It's a big place, tall place. The summit is approximately 180 by 300 feet. And if you're like, what? Yes, it's a large cone without the point. It's like if you took a cone and then cut it down middle of the ways and took off the point, that's what it is.
And, you know, Adam, I looked at a lot of pictures of Devil's Tower doing this research. And what amazes me is that you don't really get that sense of how big it is. That your mm-hmm. perspective is not there. And even with trees, you're still like, oh yeah, okay, that's pretty neat. And until you get a picture that's got some humans in it.
Yeah.
And then you just realize, man, how massive this thing really is.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Because the summit of it up there is about the size of a football field.
Yeah.
So you could play a game of football on top of this thing. And the base circumference of this feature is around 1 mile.
Yeah, that's incredible.
It's huge. So it's not, you know, this will make sense in a minute, but it's not like the redwoods that we see in the Northwest.
Mm-hmm.
Those are big. And you look at pictures of them and you go, man, those are huge. Now, this thing is ginormous compared to one of those. Now, Devil's Tower, also known to many tribes as Bear Lodge or Bear's Lodge, is both a sacred indigenous site and a modern American icon of land protection. More than 20 native tribes, Native American nations, including Lakota, Cheyenne, Arapaho, Crow, Shoshone, and Kiowa, regard the tower and its surrounding landscape as spiritually significant. Many traditional names, such as Mato Tapila, so Bear Lodge, and Aloft on a Rock, reflect its role as a dwelling of powerful spirits and a place of prayer. Now, the tower is a living ceremonial landscape, not just a backdrop to people. Tribes conduct pipe ceremonies, sweat lodges, sun dances, and vision quests there, especially around the summer solstice, and they'll leave prayer cloths and bundles tied in nearby trees as offerings. Well, because of its sacred status, many indigenous people see recreational climbing on the tower as a desecration, and mm-hmm. people do climb recreationally on Devil's Tower here, and they find it especially a desecration during times of ceremony. So,
right. And you're not supposed to be there during the ceremonial times. Right.
To balance the recreation and religious freedom, there's a voluntary climbing closure every June. So climbers are asked to refrain so that tribes can hold uninterrupted ceremonies. So it's voluntary. It's not mandatory. So if you're a jerk and you still want to go climb in June, you can. I mean, you physically can, but
just pick a cooler time of the year, you know,
right.
Just it'll be fine. You know, just another time.
Yeah. Or hotter. Go a little later.
Yeah. Go in the middle of July, you know, be like climbing up a dadgum hot plate, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why not? Now, the U.S. name Devil's Tower originated from an 1870s mistranslation, such as Bad God's Tower, that was recorded by Lieutenant Colonel Richard Dodge, and the altered English form stuck. Well, many tribes actually consider Devil's Tower disrespectful, and they've pushed for official recognition of indigenous names like Bear Lodge to reflect its sacred character.
Yeah. Yeah, and in the Lakota language, the word for bad god or evil spirit is Wakansika, but the Lakota word for black bear is Wahanaksika.
Mm.
Okay. So they are very close.
Yeah.
Okay. So the Lakota are among the largest Native American communities in this area. So it's possible that Dodge just mistranslated the given name and he didn't even realize it because the words are similar. But they say this mistake, it altered the history of the region because when they replace the name of something that has such immense cultural significance with an inaccurate, but catchy misinterpretation.
Yeah.
And many of the tribes they would prefer that the name be changed. Okay. I mean, understandably.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, and true enough, the Devil's Tower sounds really cool. Okay.
Yeah.
But imagine.
It's catchier than Bear Lodge.
Right. But imagine if, you know, somebody came up and, like it was your church or your synagogue or your mosque or whatever, and they just decided they're going to call it something else that may be, you know, the exact opposite of what it is. You'd kind of be like, I don't like that. So you can understand why the push for renaming this.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, its walls show dramatic, nearly vertical columns with long parallel grooves, forming one of the world's largest and best examples of columnar jointing. And columnar, it was not easy for me to be able to pronounce for some reason.
Oh, well, you didn't have to say Wakanahakasa.
No, I didn't. And it, intentionally, I did not put that in my notes. Now, scientists agree that Devil's Tower is solidified magma that formed underground and was later exposed by erosion, but they debate the exact structure it started as. So what scientists agree on is that Devil's Tower is made of igneous rock that began as magma forced into older sedimentary rocks beneath the surface. The magma cooled slowly underground, forming large crystals and the famous columnar joints as it contracted. When it formed, the top of the tower was buried roughly 1 to 2 miles below the Earth's surface. Softer surrounding sedimentary layers were later stripped away by erosion, exposing the resistant igneous core. So they also say that erosion over the last 5 to 10 million years removed those overlying rocks, leaving the tower standing above the Belfort River Valley. Now, the main scientific models, and different models are really arguments about shape and setting, not really about whether it's intrusive magma or not. So the volcanic neck model says it's one widely used explanation by the National Park Service that the Devil's Tower is a small intrusive body or a stock that solidified underground and was later exposed as surrounding rock eroded away. Some geologists interpret it more specifically as an exhumed volcanic neck, magma that filled the conduit or throat of a small volcano with the cone eroded off, so only the solid plug remains. So that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
The laccolith-related model. Early 20th century geologists Darton and O'Hara argued the Devil's Tower is the remnant of a laccolith, magma that spreads between sedimentary layers and domed them upward without erupting. In this view, the visible tower is the more resistant central part of that intrusion left behind after the domed sedimentary layers and much of the igneous body were eroded. And then there's the more recent work that has proposed that the tower may be the solidified lava lake that filled the crater of a fretomagmatic volcano.
Very good.
Where magma interacted explosively with groundwater. Now, in that scenario, the explosive crater was later eroded, leaving this resistant cooled lava. Now, the columnar joints, huh?
No, I was going to say, all of that is really cool. I have trouble understanding the difference between what's happening. So it's all volcanic in
right.
some fashion. You go hunting around, you see a lot of things that says Devil's Tower is not a volcano. Mm-hmm. I understand. The structure itself is not a volcano.
Right.
But it was caused by a volcano underground?
Yeah, one of them says that it was underground and that it was magma that was pushed into a certain area and then solidified and then everything eroded away downward.
All of the soil where this was underneath.
Right.
Solidified. The soil eventually just eroded and it just left this giant
right.
formation exposed.
Right. Right. The other volcano explanation is that there was a volcano sticking up above ground.
Mm-hmm.
Then magma rushed into it, but it never exploded. And then it cooled in the neck of the volcano. And then the outer part of the volcano eroded away. So it either formed underground and was exposed that way, or it formed in a volcano neck and was exposed.
Okay. Okay. That, okay. So, okay. That makes sense. Cause I was like, man, for something to not be a volcano, we talk a lot about volcanoes when it comes to
right.
Devil's Tower.
Right.
So yeah. that makes sense. So, you know, they just can't figure out what exactly happened. I mean, these mm-hmm. are all just theories, but again, they're all convinced this was, the formation was caused by magma cooling.
Correct. Yeah. Yep. Now, let's talk about the columnar joints and the current shape. They say the long, mostly hexagonal columns formed as the hot, thick magma cooled and shrank. Fractures developed roughly perpendicular to the cooling surface, producing the vertical columnar joining around the tower. And then gravity, water, and freeze-thaw cycle, they keep prying the columns off the sides. So those fallen blocks form the talus slope around the base and show that the tower used to be larger in diameter. So it's got that because as water seeps in, freezes, just like your streets, when you have a bad freeze,
mm-hmm.
like we now have more potholes than we did before, which I didn't think was possible, but we do. Because water gets in there, freezes, cracks the concrete, and then it busts out pieces of the concrete. Same thing happening to Devil's Tower.
Mm-hmm.
As it freezes, it cracks it, and then as it thaws, the
outer edges of these columns just kind of crack and
yes.
fall away gradually, yep. you know, yep. leaving that shape that you see now.
Now, the time frame in early Earth's history, this says the intrusion itself is generally placed in the late Eocene, so around 40 to 50 million years ago, during a period of tectonic activity related to uplift of the Black Hills and the Rocky Mountains. Most of the dramatic relief, Devil's Tower sticking up above the surrounding landscape, is geologically young, created as rivers and weather eroded softer rocks away in the last several million years. Now, President Theodore Roosevelt proclaimed Devil's Tower as America's first national monument on September 24, 1906, soon after the Antiquities Act was passed. The declaration aimed to protect its remarkable geology and its cultural significance. And Devil's Tower is strongly associated with the Black Hills region and has become a symbol of Wyoming's landscapes. It features prominently in pop culture, most famously in the 1977 film Close Encounters of the Third Kind, where it serves as the rendezvous point with an alien mothership.
Yep. Now, that's all the scientific explanations of what it is. And the Native American tribes in the area, they have many different stories about what Devil's Tower is and how it came to be. But understand that Devil's Tower to the Native American tribes is a sacred site. So it is inappropriate to call these legends or myth or folklore. These are oral histories of Devil's Tower, probably more accurate to say they are sacred histories that come from the local Native American tribes. Now, each one is a little bit different from the next one, but they're all they're all really cool. So we're going to go through a few of these sacred histories from the surrounding tribes. So according to the Sioux legend, two young boys became lost, trying to find their way home through the vast prairie. And after some time, the boys realized that they were being followed, hunted by the ferocious and relentless Mato, which is an exceptionally giant bear. The boys ran from Mato for as long as they could, but they couldn't find anywhere to hide in the low brush and the open meadow. Soon, the bear was right on top of them. And in a final plea for rescue, the boys dropped down to their knees and prayed to the Great Spirit to save them. Suddenly, the earth began to shake, and the boys found themselves lifted up into the sky by a giant pillar of rock. Determined to catch them, Mateo reared up on his hind legs and clawed at the enormous vertical striations into the stone as he tried to climb after the two boys. But they remained just out of his reach. Mateo tried and tried to reach them, covering every side of the mountain in the long cracks and scratches made by his claws. But try as he might, Mateo could not catch the boys. Eventually, Mateo retreated, exhausted and disappointed, leaving the two boys alone and frightened on top of the mountain. Now, the story comes to a close as the two boys are carried back to their village on the wings of Wanblee, a giant eagle. So that is one of the histories that describes how those long striations occur in the side. And if you look at a photograph, you know, that is one of the most striking things about Devil's Tower is those long streaks, you know, vertical along the side all the way around. And as, you know, Adam said that was caused by, you know, those hexagonal columns, you know, from the regular freeze thaw and the cooling. And over time they would break, they would fracture and then eventually fall away, giving it that appearance that we see today.
Right. Right.
The Kiowa tell a tale that is similar of a bear chasing seven maidens who are saved by the tower rising from the ground. However, instead of returning to their village, the girls ascend to the sky as stars, transforming into the Pleiades, or the Seven Sisters. Okay, the star cluster.
Right.
So if you visit Devil's Tower at night, the Seven Sisters are clearly visible right above the monument during the fall, which just adds to the mystique.
Oh, you know, yeah.
To be able to see that and to see those stars above it, you're just kind of like, wow, you know, how does, you know, nature does a better job, you know, I'm telling you.
Yeah. Well, and the Pleiades have such a long history of legends that we'll have to talk about those sometime in another show. But yeah.
Yep. Now in the Arapaho story, a young girl is transformed into a bear and injures her sister while chasing her siblings. Now, when her sister doesn't recover from her injuries, the bear girl climbs to the top of Devil's Tower, abandoning her family in order to keep them safe. So the claws digging as she climbed up Devil's Tower formed those long striations. Now, the Cheyenne tell the story of a group of warriors who hunt and defeat a bear spirit that has been terrorizing one of the women in their tribe. And although parts of the story change across the various tribes within each region, each includes the presence of a giant bear or group of bears to justify those vertical cracks along the surface of Devil's Tower. Visitors can also spot Ursa Major or the Great Bear or Big Dipper star constellation just above Devil's Tower in the night sky. Like I said, along with many other significant star clusters like the Pleiades. And these are all referenced by the area's Native American culture. But it is the reoccurring image of the bear across Native American sacred narratives that determined the original name of the monument, Mato Tapila, which was given by the surrounding Native American tribes. And it's a name that still holds very much significance today. So again, like we said, you know, the American name Devil's Tower was a misinterpretation, and there is still a big push to rename it to, you know, Mateo Tapila or Bear Lodge, anything else than Devil's Tower. And I think if you, in the modern, what I mean is in articles that have come out within the last 5 to 10 years, you do tend to see both names listed.
Right.
You know, yeah. So at least, you know, people are recognizing that, you know, we may need to change the name, but at least we can call it by both names.
Mm-hmm.
So Devil's Tower or Bear Lodge scientifically is a giant rock formation caused by cooling magma. But according to some, this is simply not true. And the scientific community is lying to you, covering up the fact that Devil's Tower is actually the stump of a giant tree.
Wouldn't that be crazy?
Wouldn't that be crazy? Yeah. So, hold on to your tinfoil hats, folks.
Yeah.
You better have
them on.
We're fixing to get into some stuff. There are a lot of people who have perpetuated the idea that magma does not cool in these perfect hexagonal columns. And these are actually petrified plant fibers. More specifically, they are that of a silicon tree.
Hmm.
So, real quick, let's look at what a silicon tree is, because I didn't know.
Yeah, please.
The silicon tree was a unique hybrid of mineral and organic material that resulted from forces and circumstances that do not exist on this planet in the present day.
Mm.
So these silicon giants incorporated large amounts of silicon dioxide into their structure, which caused them to have this crystalline, almost petrified appearance, but with an incredible resilience and longevity, which surpasses any species of tree we have today. Okay?
Hmm.
This was all in a time where carbon-based life forms on Earth were not the rule. Okay? Silicon trees were believed to have thrived during the Devonian period over 350 million years ago. Their unusual composition led to the formation of sturdy, semi-crystalline trunks that sparkled like quartz in sunlight. Hmm. Now, of course, that's even more fascinating if that was accurate, because what do we know about quartz? You know, it's piezoelectric. Mm-hmm. You know, under great pressure, you know, quartz will, you know, generate current. Yeah. You know, it is highly conductive. Now, understanding that, go look at the picture of Devil's Tower and imagine something of that size being made of a substance like quartz and something having to cut it down.
Yeah.
Straight across.
Right, right. Giant lumberjack, maybe?
There's nothing that we have that would have been able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, theoretically, there is nothing that any ancient prehistoric civilization would have had that would have been able to do that.
Right.
And this causes a lot of speculation on what outside force could have possibly cut down this crystalline tree of such an immense size. And don't misunderstand, this is not the only one.
Mm-hmm.
These were everywhere, according to these stories. They were predominant on this planet, and the planet itself was more crystalline in structure than the lush green that we have today. So unlike these traditional trees, that draw nutrients from the air, you know, through their roots and leaves and from the soil, these marvels of ancient evolution absorbed silicon and trace elements from their surroundings, which is a process that created natural conduits of mineral and water flow within their structure. So the idea is someone's had to come and take these things down. Okay. Alien lumberjacks is exactly where we're going. Now, according to the story, the last of these giant trees was inadvertently felled in 1899. Hmm. Okay, 1899. Think about how recent that is in comparison to 350 million years ago. Now, there is a now famous photograph of men standing on a giant stump with a circumference of about 60 feet. This tree was said to have stood 350 feet tall.
Good Lord.
Yeah. Now, for reference, the current tallest tree in the world is the Coast Redwood in California, which is 380 feet tall. But if Devil's Tower was a tree, it wasn't a redwood. So a lot of the speculation on how big that tree would have been comes from our knowledge of how redwoods grow. So we can't be exactly sure if it was a tree, how big it was, because the where they get the estimate is based on what a redwood does. So we know that it wasn't that. So we're just kind of, is the next closest thing, you know. So
if you took the mile circumference of the base and then like extrapolated that out, you might have leaves in the troposphere or something.
Yeah.
Or like halfway to the moon or some crap.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's nuts. But as great as this story sounds, the photograph in question is reportedly the result of AI. And according to what I could find, the story followed the photo, which brings the entire idea into question. So we've seen this before. Somebody posts a photograph and says, oh my God, check this out. And then there you read this long story about where this photograph came from. Well, it's a real chicken and the egg kind of situation. Well, what came first? Did somebody find this story? Does this story exist? And then somebody says, let's make a photo of this, and uses AI to fabricate a photograph depicting the story.
Right.
But in this case, it really does look like the photo came first and then the story, which kind of puts it all to, okay, none of this is true.
Yeah.
But that doesn't stop people from believing that these living trees existed on Earth before carbon-based trees. And they believed that these were harvested by some interplanetary entity to steal their energy. Remember we said, if they were quartz-like. So if they were quartz-like and had similar properties to quartz, and quartz is piezoelectric, then they would absolutely be a source of energy.
Oh, so, yeah.
Another alien lumberjack comes along, wipes out all these trees, you know, in order to harvest the energy from them.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great story. I mean, it really is. But I just, based on what I can find, there's nothing there to back this up. I mean, yeah, just nothing. I mean, even beyond just the interplanetary lumberjack story. I mean, but there's not anything else that, because these things like Devil's Tower are all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these magma cooled rock formations are everywhere. And most of the people that promote this line of thinking say that they were all, you know, these ancient trees. But again, you know, it's flat on top. I mean, it's not perfectly flat, but it's flat enough that if it was a tree, somebody or something would have had to make a cut clean through it. I can't even fathom what that would be. And I think that's why the story of the interplanetary harvesters, you know, it helps, because then you can say, like, well, we have no idea what kind of technology that were. They could have been millions of years ahead of us technologically, and they knew exactly what to do. And I'm like, well, it's just all convenient, you know.
Mm-hmm. It is.
The idea that, you know, you have no way of proving, you know, once you get to that point, then they could have done anything. You know, they had laser, you know, saws and everything. They're out there cutting these things. But
Sasquatch with a laser out there doing it.
There's just not a lot to back up the idea that this is actually a petrified tree stump. It does give that appearance. And like Adam said, it would be super cool if it was. Mm-hmm. You know, the idea that there was this enormous tree. But when you consider how big it would have been, it would be roughly, like I said, 350 feet tall, you know, which is gigantic. Mm-hmm. But we have trees taller than that now.
Yeah. And I think that's a low estimate based on the size of what's showing.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would probably be a lot taller than that if we were extrapolating it out at all.
Exactly. Now, pushing more fuel into this fire, there was a post on the Facebook page, Casper Planet, in July of 2017, and it made a pretty amazing claim. The post says this: scientists from Wyoming State Parks Department were conducting photographic seismic readings below the tower when they discovered an incredibly large petrified root system below. The Parks Department released a statement saying, quote, "We have discovered what looks like a giant root system stemming from the base of the Devil's Tower. The root system has been measured at 4 miles deep by 7 miles wide."
Jeez.
Now, in an attempt to verify this post, Reuters fact check looked into it, but determined that there was no such post on the website of the Wyoming State Parks Department, and they were unable to find any other documented evidence of this find. Snopes.com also debunked the story, showing that the supposed radar image of the root system was actually an image of the roots of sweet corn after 8 weeks of growth. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, it's like, look at this. I mean, it does. They impose this what looks like a black and white radar photo of all these roots, and they they put it directly underneath a photo of Devil's Tower and just make it fit. And Snopes is like, this is sweet corn, y'all. This is not any kind of root system underneath Devil's Tower. It's a cool picture, but it is not real.
Sweet corn, silica tree. What's the difference?
It's right. It's Indian corn. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe Devil's Tower is not a tree stump, but that still has not stopped conspiracy theorists from speculating that it's way more than just a natural rock formation. Scott Whitehead has gained attention through social media content, primarily on YouTube and Facebook, where he discusses hidden secrets beneath Devil's Tower. Now, based on a YouTube video from November of 2025, so this is just a few months ago, Scott Whitehead claimed that he used AI LIDAR technology to identify a, quote, hidden Egyptian-esque style entrance beneath the soil at Devil's Tower by shooting it with proton fiber beams.
What is that?
I don't know what proton fiber beams are. But okay. You know, in the video, Scott shows footage of what appears to be a narrow cavern that opens up to reveal everything from hieroglyphics to Egyptian statues. He also says that he has no knowledge of ancient Egyptians coming to North America. But there was also Hebrew writing mixed in with this. Now, yeah, he never lets on that this is fake. You know, I mean, I've not found a video where he owns up to this not being real.
Uh-huh.
But he does mention one particular person that made my ears perk up when I heard this. He says he's with Dr. Remy Demi, which is a fictitious archaeologist used in clickbait videos surrounding discoveries under the Great Pyramid at Giza. Have you seen these, Adam?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Dr. Remy Demi.
We talked about
yeah,
them.
Yeah, you know, so when you're scrolling along on Instagram or TikTok or whatever, and you see these, and they're usually... You know, they're usually AI narrated, you know, and they're just going like, this was just discovered under the Great Pyramid. And it's like all this, you know, this network of tunnels and all these different artifacts. And you're like, you know, archaeologist Dr. Remy Demi, you know, for one. Okay. Zai Hawass doesn't let anybody else dig around the pyramids. That should be your first clue is, you know, Zai Hawass does not allow anyone to go poking around and digging in anywhere in Egypt regarding pyramids, pharaohs, tombs, none of that. Okay. He is the gatekeeper for all of that. Number two, if that had happened, you would have already known about it. I mean, you know, you remember how fast the stuff about those columns that they discovered on LIDAR underneath the, you remember how fast that story spread?
If they actually found and
dug and got under there and found more, you know, chambers and tunnels and so forth, I mean, it would be all over the news. I mean, so fast, you know, so that's another thing. It's like, I'm finding this weird post about all this stuff. I hadn't heard this from anywhere else. You know, so, you know, at this point, I'm like, okay. But I especially loved this when Scott is describing them getting into this narrow passage. And, you know, they're climbing down and they've got backpacks on. And he says the good doctor, quote, had a prime energy drink in his hand. And he said, man, just let that go.
That's weird.
He couldn't get down there because he was holding on to his energy drink. And he's like, man, just let that go.
That's man.
What if they got down there, Adam, and were they got all underneath there under the pyramids, and they're pulling stuff away, and they see where the architects, you know, the builders of the pyramid, had left their trash like behind the wall.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You know, I just dealt with that.
I know. It's like, this will really hit home with Adam.
Yeah, it will. That we doing home renovations and found that the builders of this house decided to use a wall as a trash can.
Yeah. Can you believe that?
So I can imagine there being, you know, we found Pepsi cans from 2006 when this house was built. Can you just imagine like Pepsi from, I don't know, 2500 BC?
A bag of Faro O's, you know? Yeah. But of course, none of this seems to dissuade actual conspiracy theorists from believing that there is way more information about Devil's Tower than the scientific establishment is willing to tell us. But in this case, it does appear that science has this one correct. Despite that, it truly is a marvel that attracts, you know, adventurous rock climbers and hikers and photographers, as well as the Native Americans who still hold this formation sacred. Mm-hmm. In fact, you know, Devil's Tower is so awe-inspiring, as Adam mentioned, Steven Spielberg used it for his UFO landing site in Close Encounters of the Third Kind. And yeah. I think, and I don't, you may or may not agree with this, I think this kind of stuff may add a little bit of the mystique to the U.S.'s first national monument. The fact that it's in a movie that's associated with UFOs. Yeah. And whether you remember it or not, or directly associated with the movie, sometimes I think when things like that are connected in pop culture, they leave a little divot in your brain,
mm-hmm.
that if you come across it later in life, you kind of go, oh, yeah, Devil's Tower. I've heard about that place. Well, it's kind of weird, isn't
wild.
It?
Yeah.
And it may be from something totally, totally fictitious.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've seen just people that are like, just like under a post about Devil's Tower. They just say, yeah, that place is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Why? They don't have an explanation for why it's crazy. They just have a thought in their head that the Devil's Tower is mysterious or wild or something like that. And then you get people that come out with silica trees, mm-hmm. and they go, oh, see, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
I told you, it's crazy.
It's a giant petrified tree stump.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that a lot of places that the Native Americans hold sacred, like Devil's Tower, there is something about the land.
Sure.
That when you visit there, you can feel it. You can sense it. That this is a unique place on Earth. And, you know, you can say what you want about it, but you just have that extra sense that, you know, mm-hmm. there's something here. Is it a natural, you know, magnetic field? Is it just, you know, the history of the magma and everything being under, and how much change the land has gone through, you know, over all the centuries that your body is reacting to? Who knows? But there is something that you can feel about places like this. And I think when people visit, they come away from it a little bit changed. And I think they go home, they tell a story, you know, they hiked it, they climbed it, whatever. And, you know, maybe it touched them emotionally. And so
yeah.
when they share a story about it, when they share their photos, you know, they say, you know, oh, it's made me feel a certain way to witness this or to be a part of this. And that just adds to that mystique, so that when people come along and go, this is not what people are telling you it is. I equate that to flat earth. You know, it's like, you know, people go, the scientific community is lying to you. I'm like, to what benefit? I mean, if it was a tree, tell us it's a tree. What? I mean, why? You know, other than they have to push that whole alien lumberjack thing on there. Well, they don't want you to know about the alien lumberjacks, or, you know, these giants that, you know, cut these trees down with these magical tools. Okay. Well, I mean, that you're getting way off in the woo-woo to try to prove your point. So that pushes me more towards, science has got this one on the nose. I mean, we can test this stuff.
Yeah, right. I think this one they do have on. I mean, as we know, I've disagreed with the way science explains things sometimes in the past, but I think they got it on this one. But I can't tell, Matt. Here lately, I have seen more videos about the Devil's Tower being a petrified tree. And I can't tell whether it's being pushed just to everybody or if it's just my algorithm, because everything's tied together and it knows I'm looking up stuff about it.
Yeah.
So I don't know, but if they're pushing it, everybody, like on Facebook, everybody's getting these videos of the petrified trees and silica trees and all that, then I think this is a good episode for people to say, hey, no, it's not. Let's counteract those alien lumberjack videos.
But I've got to think that if you're listening to our show, if you're a regular listener, you enjoy this type of stuff, and you may be seeing the similar videos that Adam and I do, on whatever feed you're on, and you might have recently come across something that promotes Devil's Tower as being a petrified tree. The video about the Scott Whitehead video, I mean, it's only a few months old. I mean, when it was posted. So, you know, if that gains traction, of course, what it's going to do is pull in all these other posts about Devil's Tower and the oddity aspect of it. You know, you're not gonna get something that comes from, you know, the national park system. You're gonna get something that promotes a little bit of the woo woo because of this video. You're like, watch that whole thing and be like, wow, that's weird. And then an hour or two later, you're scrolling and you get the petrified forest video, or you get the this is really a tree stump, and you know, the root system and all that stuff. So, you know, but I you know, when I came across me, I thought it was interesting. But like I said, I love these places. I mean, I love them. You know, I think they're amazing, and it just shows, you know, how we don't know everything about this planet that we live on, and we don't really understand how old it is and how these things formed. But, you know, we can understand that it is what it is. We may not know exactly how it was formed or when it was formed. But we can,
even the scientists,
we can marvel at it though.
Yeah. Even the scientists argue on exactly how it was formed. Yeah,
right.
You know, that we know what it is, but how did it become what it is?
We don't know. We don't know. What do you guys think? Do you have an idea of maybe how it was formed? Is there one of these theories that you subscribe to? Have you been out there? Have you had the pleasure of witnessing Devil's Tower firsthand? Or
have you seen its roots?
Have you seen the roots? Let us know. And the best place to do that is in our Facebook group. It is called The Graveyard, and we've got thousands of people in there sharing stories like this, talking about past episodes, telling jokes, everything. It's just a great place. You know, we all just want to hear, you know, some of these great stories and experiences and your opinions on things all paranormal. Don't forget to check out our website, which is graveyardpodcast.com. There you can find links to purchase Graveyard Tales merchandise. You can listen to the show and you can become a patron. And thank you to everyone who has donated to the work that Adam and I do. We appreciate it so much. It keeps us going. It keeps Graveyard Tales free and not just hammered with ads. And it allows us to continue putting out content at a level that you can enjoy and that Adam and I can be proud of. So,
right.
Until next time, we'll save you a seat in the graveyard.
See you soon.